Our scripture today comes from the letter of 1 John, the first chapter. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord.
Light. It is something that we all value and enjoy. I think we can safely say that this sanctuary is our favorite because we agree with so much natural light streaming through those windows and the beautiful stained glass windows behind me and to your left. What is the first thing we do when we walk into a darkened room? We turn on the... Back in my motor coach driving days, there was a slate of trips that I drove taking middle school students to tour Washington, D.C. And I would never tire of watching the sun come up on the Pennsylvania Turnpike and just watch the sunlight wash over the rolling hills and historic farmsteads of western Pennsylvania. During our long, cold, and mostly dreary Minnesota winters, what do we crave besides spring? Those bright, sunny days when the light just sparkles and bounces on the snow and bounces off the crystals from the branches and the trees. Admit it. We crave light and the joy that it brings. Light is also a theme we see a lot in Scripture. There are many passages like the one we read today dealing with light. Light serves as a reference to God and to Jesus. And as we sang this morning, there are many songs and many hymns aplenty that deal with light. A couple of my favorites that we didn't sing is an old one, "Walk in the light, beautiful light, come where his love and his mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night, Jesus, the light of the world." Of course, my all-time favorite, Sia Hamba, 442 in the hymnal. "We are walking in the light of God. We are walking in the light of God." So now that we've talked a little bit about light, let's talk about another predominant word that's in today's passage. Sin. Oh, yes, that word. It is a word that carries a lot of baggage for many of us, for a lot of reasons, myself included. As you heard during the prayer time on Saturday, I will go down to Newton and go before the Regents Commission on Ministry for my ordination interview. And as part of that interview, they give you a list of questions that should be written in about what equates to a 15-page paper, and you get 2 pages front and back to answer all the questions. There's about 10 questions. And so one of those questions, you have to talk about your theology a little bit. And this is what I wrote about sin. The concept of sin is one that I have struggled with the most because of the baggage and shame for many in oppressed communities. The reason it carries so much baggage and shame is that it relates to negative interpretations of Scripture and tradition. It's used to bully others, which in turn creates a wall, a spiritual roadblock to persons who are on the receiving end of these negative interpretations. Sin is formally defined as a barrier that separates us from God, standing between what we are and what we are intended to be. Through my studies of disciples theologian Clark Williamson, I've developed the following definition. Sin is our opposition against life, against well-being, against the freedom to love God with all of ourselves and our neighbors as ourselves, against the love that frees us to do so, against being loved, against God, and against God's gift to us of abundant life. So imagine with me, if you will, being at Lake Harriet Bandshell for a concert. 'Tis this season. It's your favorite orchestra, and you've waited weeks to see that orchestra. You've got your picnic basket, you've got your favorite lawn chair, and you've got your favorite spot picked out, not too close to the front, not too far away, so you can hear the music and see the orchestra playing. It's bright and it's sunny out, and the park is filled with light. Then all of a sudden, this cloud appears, and it appears right over your head. You try to move away from the cloud, but every time you move, the cloud goes with you. You keep moving, and the cloud keeps moving with you. You resign yourself to enjoying the concert, but the relationship with the orchestra is dimmed because this cloud is in the way, blocking the light. Two words, light and sin. Two words with diametrically opposed meanings, very different. In today's passage, the author reminds us in pretty clear language that if God is light, then God's children must walk or live in the light. Walking in the light involves consistency between words and actions. When we follow through with the commitments that we have made, it shows integrity. When we say one thing and do another, it creates dissonance. We generally do not like to live with the contradiction, so we become experts in spin control. Initially, we may wince at what has been said or done or what we did or what we didn't do, but we go on and tell ourselves that it was okay. It might appear to be a contradiction, but then we take the storyline and we tweak it a little bit, and then we can show that we're right all along. Pretty soon, much like that cloud hanging over our heads, we're walking in the darkness wondering where the light went. 1 John provides language that has often been used in liturgy. It speaks of the contradiction between saying that we have fellowship with God and yet live in ways that contradict that relationship. It names the propensity for kidding ourselves about ourselves. The writer says that acknowledging the problem is the first step toward moving beyond the problem. There is one more word, a very important word, contained in this passage. That word is confession. As a quick aside to my next point, normally this passage is in the Revised Common Lectionary the second Sunday after Easter, but we're in the Narrative Lectionary, so we're looking at this summer. In the RCL, this is the second Sunday after the Easter lilies have been taken home, the nine versions of Christ the Lord is risen today has been sung, rung, played on the organ, and presented about every which way you can do it, and the Easter bonds are put away for another year. As theologian Paul Tillich puts so eloquently in his biography, is there life after Easter when year after year the longed-for perfection of life doesn't appear? When old compulsions reign within us as they have for decades? When despair destroys all joy and all courage? Of course we know what the answer is. The answer is a resounding yes. We have experienced grace and find joy in the sharing we have seen and heard. But the experience of grace is completed not only in witness to God's actions in our lives, but our recognition of our finitude and imperfection. Confession connects us with the divine and each other. Like Thanksgiving, confession reminds us that we need one another. There are no self-made persons or us them, but we are all part of a dynamic community of grace and forgiveness. Confession is an act of solidarity that nurtures greater understanding of others' imperfections. It may also challenge us to see our complicity and others' suffering, as well as our need to prevent certain occasions of sin. Things like poverty, lack of education, racism, sexism, and so many other isms in our world today. While God is forgiving and embraces us in our imperfection, God also calls us to see spiritual and physical health as connected. Holistic spirituality, like holistic medicine, seeks to be preventative and not just reactive. Confession calls for forgiveness. Forgiveness is the mending of relationships, relationships with God, and our relationships with each other. The basic idea is release. It is the point at which one can be honest about the damage that has been done while saying that what has happened does not determine the future. Forgiveness is the moment when a future that has been blocked by something has damaged relationship is opened up by the word that offers release for new relationship. The cloud dissipates. Stop and think a minute about the Lord's Prayer. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Each Sunday, we say the Lord's Prayer, and then later in the service, we gather around this table to partake in the Lord's Supper. Each week, we have a chance for confession, for grace, to return to the light and dispel the cloud that is over us. It's a chance for us to experience shalom in human community. We have a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance. 1 John is a book of testimony, not about creeds or belief or a certain path to heaven, but about humanly actions, ways of knowing what one knows in the world. The author has been a witness to resurrection, wants everyone to know it is true. It is about walking the light, the beautiful light, the light that changes and transforms each and every one of us. Amen. And now this is the time in the service where we invite those who are looking for a church home to join with us. And we're now going to sing, I Am the Light of the World. Would you please stand?